Thank you, Brenda. Those of you that were here last week know that the organ went kaflooey, and so they're still working on getting it fixed. So Brenda's played the piano for us this morning. Thank you. It's good to be in the Lord's house. We're so glad you're here. We've got a good group, and it's continuing to grow, and we just appreciate that as we get more and more folks back from COVID and folks coming and visiting, and it's great to be in the Lord's house. And if you're listening in the parking lot or later on the webcast, we're also glad that you're listening and being a part of this service. Maybe pray. Father, it's good to be in your house, to come and worship. For we know that you've told us to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. May we honor you today with all that we do, all that we say, all that we sing, all that we preach. And all that we do after the day is after we leave this building, Lord, may we honor you with our life. For Lord, we know that you're great and mighty. You're the one that sent your son to die for us. You're the one that's sending your son back to receive us. You're the one that's preparing heaven for all who believe. Thank you, Father. You tell us that we're two or three are gathered in your name. There you are in the midst. And so we know your presence. We honor your presence. We worship you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and good morning, everyone. It's good to see this number this morning, you know, all these smiling faces this morning. It's so good to see you. As we do every Sunday morning about this time, we always do a traditional hymn, and I call it the hymn sing, and that's what it is. And so this morning we're going to do things just a little differently. The pastor has already alluded to the fact that our organ is sick, and it'll get better. But Brenda, right now, it's going to have a little attention. But in the meantime, we're going to sing our hymn sing this morning, but we're going to be using the words and everything on the board and the music as well this morning will be recorded. So everyone stand as we sing Holy, Holy, Holy. Beautiful hymn.
Early in the morning, I
Somebody said amen. Welcome somebody, if you would, please. All right. Holy, holy, holy. Indeed he is. All right, I have some few of announcements for you I want to share with you. First, I don't want you to forget, we do have a quarterly conference today after service, this end of service today. But I want to remind all of you about Wednesday night. You know, we were talking in a Sunday school lesson this morning, Pastor, about the building of the temple, when we've been talking about it back a little bit earlier than that, haven't we? And Ezra and all that. So y'all come and be part of Wednesday night. I'll tell you, you'll learn something. You'll learn something. I promise you that. Okay, then. So now let's remember that also the Annie Armstrong. Let's not forget Annie Armstrong. We're still going to be working through the month of April with Annie Armstrong. So keep that. If you haven't had a chance to donate yet or give your offering, please do so. NC Baptist Children's Home Fund. You can see some of the things here now. I believe Pastor May 1. Is that what we're saying? May 1 is the time you can get here. So I know Eva and some of the rest were bringing some things this morning. So it's all right. So it'll be fine. So May 1 to have it here. Are there any announcements that I may have overlooked at this point? All right. We ought to be up to date, right? As we go into our prayer request this morning, we do have some sad news to tell you that the pastor of West Oakboro Baptist Church, Brother Keith Austin, Reverend Keith Austin, passed away. And Keith had been battling cancer for quite a while. So y'all keep it in your mind. Also, this morning in Sunday school, someone mentioned Vicki Harris. Anybody want to say any more about that, Vicki Harris? I've got her down here. All right. And Ann, you have an unspoken, I believe. So we won't want to forget that from Sunday school this morning. Are there other requests this morning for prayer?
Leonard.
Yes. Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I read that. There'll be a memorial service. The funeral was yesterday down on the coast, but there'll be a memorial service at 11 Tuesday, just out tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you, Pastor. No, I hadn't heard that. Anyone? Yes, Lori. Good. By the way, Lori, it's good to see you. Feeling well this morning. Yeah, I was going to ask Jeff for an update on her, so.
She's grouchy, so she's doing good.
Well, you know, the acorn didn't fall far from the tree. Right, amen. And some people are saying amen to that down here. I don't know. But I'm your friend. Don't ever forget.
Yeah. She's not made a friend.
Stace, did you have someone?
Yeah, put my brother Tracy on the prayer list. He's got some issues. He's in the hospital. I want just pray for him.
Okay, we'll do that. All right. Yes, Bobby. Okay, good news, Bobby. All right, others? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning, please. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for another opportunity you've given us to be in your house today. And Lord, as we have listened this morning and as we've heard good news and we've heard some bad news, and then we've heard some news, Lord, that concerns us, but Lord, on the other hand, we can also be encouraged by the fact, Lord, that with praise reports to be heard this morning throughout. And Lord, we thank you for the congregation this morning as I've heard the laughter, I've heard the happiness of your people in your house this morning. Oh, how I know that you like a happy people. How I know that, Lord, that you appreciate praising in your name and a smile from our face. And we thank you, Lord, for that this morning. But Lord, as we go forward in the prayer this morning, we want to remember those specifically who have asked to be remembered and lift them up before you this morning. We pray for the pastor Keith Austin's family as he has passed away, Lord, and he's in your hands, Lord. And Lord, I know he's worshiping with you today, and we pray for the family. We pray for Vicki Harris. Her name was mentioned this morning. We lift her up. Lord, you know her needs. And we pray for Ann this morning as she has mentioned an unspoken. You again know Ann, the needs Ann has, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you would minister to her. And as we remember Karen Bilbo and Hal's family this morning, we lift them up. And again, as this time of loss, we pray for the Bilbo family. We ask we continue to pray for Jeff's mother as she is convalescing, Lord, and getting better. But it's good news that the surgery was successful, and we pray for her. We lift up Tracy Whitley to you this morning, Lord. We know he has a need, Lord, and we pray, Lord, that you would touch his body, give his and minister to his needs, Lord, we pray. And then, Lord, for the good news Bobby shared with us, we say thank you. Just thank you, Lord, that Bobby has good news to share with us, and he's doing better, and his reports are good. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your salvation. We thank you, Lord, for your healing. And now, Lord, as we go forward in the service today, we want to remember those who will take a part further in the day. We pray for the music, Lord, that's going to happen today. We pray for Rita as she comes forward. And then, Lord, we pray a special blessing on our pastor, Ed. We're so thankful for him, Lord, and we ask, continue to pray for him and give him strength. And, Lord, I know you give him courage, and I know you give him knowledge, and we're so thankful for that. Now, go with us now in the further duties of the Lord today, and we pray us, Lord, that you will be with us forever as we go forward in the next week. Help us to minister to someone and tell someone about your sweet name. These blessings I pray in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. This morning we are going to continue on with our praise music now, and we put together a praise team, and I'm real pleased with this praise team that we put together because they are willing to take part in the service as you're about to see now. Rita's going to come before us now and lead us in our praise song this morning. So, Miss Rita, if you will come and minister to us, please.
The song that I picked out for this morning is called Sanctuary, and I know it'll be familiar to some of you. It might not be familiar to others, but it's just a little short repetitive verse that by the time we finish, we will all know it. And it's just a simple, beautiful little prayer. It's just saying, Lord, please make me pure and holy. And that's what we need to be if we're going to be able to shine his light and, you know, be the best that we can be for him. So that's what this song is about. And as we sing it, let's try in our hearts to really, you know, make that prayer known to God. You know, let that be our prayer for today. So if you'll stand with me as we sing.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a sanctuary.
blessing tonight.
Thank you, Rita. I prepared this message before I ever saw the Sunday school lesson and had no clue what Sunday school lessons were going to be like for the next few weeks. So I'm going to piggyback a little bit on what Greg said and maybe get you ready for some of the things that the Sunday school lessons are going to talk about in the next month. Last week, what did we do? We celebrated Easter. We celebrated the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And according to the Bible, Jesus spent about 40 days appearing to the disciples, teaching them, giving them instruction, most of all making them aware that he truly was alive, that the first immediate appearance wasn't just a figment of their imagination, a hallucination or something. You remember he appeared to Mary Magdalene in the garden? The disciples, at least on twice when they were in the upper room with the doors locked. The two men on the road to Emmaus. And then to some of the disciples on the Sea of Galilee. And then according to Paul in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's 15, Jesus appeared to more than 500 people at one time. Now the Gospels do not tell us when that was. But at least there was a time when Jesus appeared to a large group of followers. So in all of those 40 days, Jesus kept coming back over and over and over again, saying, I'm really alive. We're really in a new dispensation. Life is going to be different. Well, what comes next? Turn with me to the book of Acts, the first chapter. The book of Acts, the first chapter. And again, this morning we'll look at several scriptures. This former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you've heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath given in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. After 40 days of meeting and spending time with the disciples, Jesus takes them out to the Mount of Olives, and he ascends to heaven. They're standing there talking with him, and all of a sudden, they just watch him go. Well, I'm sure that freaked them out. I mean, can you imagine? We're all sitting here in church, and suddenly one of us just went right through the ceiling. And these two angels came and stood beside them and said, "Why are you so excited? That Jesus you just saw leave, he's going to come back, and he's coming back in the same way. You just need to be ready." Well, where does that leave us? That leaves us in the interim waiting for Jesus to return. Now, in the second chapter of Acts, when Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost, he says, "This is the beginning of the last days," and quotes the prophet Joel. Well, if the beginning of the last days was 2,000 years ago, we must be pretty far along in the last days. I mean, after all, if something began 2,000 years ago, you'd think, well, it can't last much longer. Now, as Jesus told the disciples when they're questioned, he says, it's not for you to know. Only the Father knows. And it could be another 1,000 years, or it could be another 1,000 seconds. We don't know. But we are in the interim between Jesus leaving and Jesus returning. And they made that promise that he would return. Now, that's a truth that's taught throughout the Bible. For example, you know, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it talks about the fact that, behold, don't worry about those that have passed away, because the Lord shall descend from heaven with a trump. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive will follow. He says, take comfort in those words. So throughout the New Testament, there's the promise, Jesus left, Jesus is coming back, and so we're in that period. So how do we spend this period of waiting for his return? I want us to look at some scriptures that tell us how to spend our time while we wait. Now, I'm not a very patient person. I want patience, and I want it 2 days ago. But how do we spend our time? What should we be doing? Now, what does Acts 1:8 tell us? It says, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. One of the things we need to be doing is be filled with the Spirit of God. What do we just sing? Lord, make me a sanctuary. Fill me with your presence. Now, I don't know what your understanding is, but I truly believe the Bible teaches this, that when you became a believer in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came to live within you. But I also believe the Bible teaches that you can have the Holy Spirit totally controlling you. Charismatics talk about being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Baptists usually talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. But the idea is that the Holy Spirit totally controls our life. And not everybody that's saved and believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior have come to that point in their life. It's just like you can have somebody come to visit you in your home. They might even come in and for a period of time live with you. But it's different when they come in and take over. hadn't thought about it till this morning. Right now, this minute, we brought Stephen home from the hospital, and all of a sudden, we don't have a clue what we're doing. He's crying. We give him a bottle, we change him, we hold him, we rock him, and he's still crying. Now, I'm sure that never happened to any of you, but here we are, newlyweds, been married about a year and a half or 2 years, and we got this little baby. And all of a sudden, Mom and Dad drove up, and Mom came in and took over. I don't know what it was. She took that baby. He quit crying. Pam wasn't feeling well, so Mom took over the cooking. Mom came in and took over. And life was suddenly different. Well, you see, Jesus says when the Holy Spirit comes in and takes over, life is going to be different. Totally different. And when we allow Jesus Christ, whether we ask to be baptized in the Holy Spirit or be filled with the Holy Spirit, when we ask the Holy Spirit to truly be in control of our life and we submit to Him, life changes. And life between now and whenever Jesus returns, or whenever we go to glory before He returns, is going to be so much different for the Spirit-filled believer than for the one that just has Jesus through the Holy Spirit in their life, but He's not controlling them. Jesus said, "You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you." You think about those disciples. One day, they're in the upper room with the doors locked, the blinds closed, because fearful of a knock on the door, that the authorities are going to arrest them and put them to death. And suddenly the day of Pentecost happens, and they're right there in the temple saying to those same authorities, "Neither is there salvation in any other than in the name of Jesus." And when they're told not to talk about Jesus, they said, "Hey, you guys, we're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to listen to Him, not you." The boldness, the courage that came to those Spirit-filled believers was incredible. And so Jesus says, while we wait, ask to be filled with the Spirit of God. And what else does He say at the last of verse 8? "And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth." Now, one of the scriptures that Greg taught about was that the gospel shall be taught all over the earth, and then the end shall come. We are to be witnesses. We are to be witnesses. Now, some of these younger ones here may go overseas as missionaries. Some of us may go to short-term mission trips. But all of us have a chance to witness. We can give. We can teach. We can preach. We can share a testimony. You can write cards, letters. I've been so blessed to know that the newsletters that the Lord's given me have gone to several states. And I get reports of people saying, "You know, that's what I needed to hear this week." Now, I'm not so egotistical, think, "Oh boy, you're sure smart." Because I know if the Lord doesn't give it to me, this isn't good English, I don't got it. Because I know some weeks, here it is Wednesday evening, and I know I'm supposed to type and send it to the deacon chairman Thursday morning, and I don't have a clue. And then suddenly, there it comes. You see, we all have opportunities to witness. We just need to look for them. It's interesting. In the last month, I've walked into two different places of business, small places of business there in Albemarle. Only one clerk, because it's small. And both places, the lady just opens up to me. And I get to share. Now, I'm not unique. All of you have opportunities to share Jesus. Use those opportunities. Now, I know you'll be like I am. Sometimes I get back in my truck and I say, I should have said, I should have quoted that scripture. But while I was there on my feet, I did the best I could. And that's what the Lord expects from you, to do the best you can. As we wait for Jesus to come, we need to be filled with the Spirit, and we need to be witnesses. Then, let's turn over to the book of James. James 5. And we'll read some other verses that talk about what to do while we wait for Jesus to come. James, near the end of the New Testament, chapter 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. As I said earlier, I don't have a lot of patience, but I've got more than I had 50 years ago. I'm still learning to be patient. He says, be patient while you wait for the Lord to come. You know, there's some things in life that take patience. Now, the illustration that he gives there, the example he gives there, David doesn't go out and plant corn today and go back tomorrow with the combine to harvest it. He knows he's got to wait till fall because that corn's got to grow. The rain's got to come. The sun's got to shine. Months have got to pass. He's got to be patient. And that's the example he gives here. He talks about the husband waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. Being patient, waiting for the Lord to come. He also talks about establish your heart. Establish your heart. It means strengthen it. Continue to be encouraged. We'll look at that again in just a moment. And then what does he say in verse 9? Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. He says, treat your fellow Christians right. Grudge not means criticize not, complain not. The little chorus, they'll know we're Christians by our love, echoes the words from the Gospel of John, 1 John, other scriptures. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. You know, it's easy to criticize one another. But as I've been thinking about this, we're all different. Not a one of you look like me, thank the Lord. We're all different. We're all growing in biblical knowledge at our own pace. We're growing in our spiritual walk at our own pace. Some concepts are easier for us than others. You think back to your school days. Some of you were probably a whiz at math, but you hated history. Or maybe you loved history and had a hard time making 2 and 2 equal 4. Well, if we're that way in the natural, we're also that way in the spiritual. And so why point my finger at you and say, boy, they just don't get it. Maybe they haven't been taught. Maybe they don't understand it. Maybe the Holy Spirit hasn't revealed it to them yet. And sometimes when a brother or sister falls, it's so easy to say, I can't believe they did that. What's the old saying? Don't criticize until you've walked a mile in their shoes. Given the same opportunity to mess up, we might have messed up too. And so, James says, as we wait for the Lord to come, be sure we treat our brothers and sisters in the Lord with love. That's such a good piece of advice. Now turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. What do we do while we wait for the Lord to come? Let's start at verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. He says, be aware that as we wait for Jesus to come, they're going to be scoffers. They're going to be people who say, we've been waiting for Jesus to come and waiting for Jesus to come and waiting for Jesus to come, and that generation died off and that generation died off. We don't believe he's coming. Now, you and I have an opportunity when we're around people like that, make fun of our beliefs, make fun of our attention to the second coming, we can allow them to get us discouraged. We can allow them to lead us off into sin. We can allow them to cause us to become apathetic and uncaring about the return of the Lord. Or we can do what James says, we can establish or strengthen our heart. We have a choice. There are people that are going to laugh. There are people going to ridicule. There are people that are saying, it's not going to happen. Sometimes even religious people. And in the last few years, it seemed like some of these fruitcakes have come out of the woodwork with all kind of theories about Jesus isn't going to come and sometime the world's just going to blow up and that's going to be the end of it and all those kind of things. Peter says, listen, there's going to be scoffers, but don't let them discourage you. Verse 5, for this they are willingly ignorant of. Catch that phrase? Not only are they ignorant, they want to be ignorant. What they used the expression last week, it's not those who cannot see, but those who will not see. They are willingly ignorant of that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. He said they're ignorant of the fact that God created the world. God destroyed the world with a flood. God restored the world. And the next time, God's going to destroy the world by fire. In other words, Peter says, listen, it didn't all just evolve. And there was no flood. God was behind it all. God was in control of it all. And then he goes on to say, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's delay has a purpose. He wants every possible person to be saved. He wants every possible person to come to know him, Jesus, as Lord and Savior. It's not just that God, you know, went on vacation and oh, I forgot. I was supposed to send my son to get him back in the year 1492. No, God has a purpose. You and I may have loved ones that God is delaying the return of Jesus so that we'll witness to them. You think about it. What if one of your loved ones, my loved ones, were the one person that God's holding out for them to be saved? He says, listen, God doesn't want anybody to be saved, lost. He wants them all to be saved, and God's delay is for more to come into the kingdom. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? He says, the end's coming. Jesus is returning. There's going to be a worldwide judgment. What kind of person should we be while we wait? What does he say? In all holy conversation, with godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the God, wherein the heavens shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that we look for such things, be diligent that we may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. He says, while you wait, you know it's coming. We don't know when, but be diligent. That means awake, aware, alert. We need to be living in peace. And we need to be living a holy life. I dare say that most of us, if we knew that special company was coming to our house tomorrow, we'd do some house cleaning tonight. I mean, you know, we got to kick this under the couch, and we got to slam this in the closet and shut the door, and we got to spiffy up the bathroom, and you know, we're going to do some preparation. Well, with the fact that Jesus could come at any moment, we need to be spiffied up spiritually. He said, living blameless, living holy, living spotless. We may never become totally sinless, but we all need to be desiring to live a godly life. The desire should be, I don't want to be doing or saying anything that I would be embarrassed if Jesus suddenly tapped me on the shoulder. You say, well, preacher, I just can't control myself sometimes. What if I walked up? I bet you could. It's amazing sometimes you walk up and all of a sudden that dirty story that person's telling, just they swallow it. Or what if a policeman walked up? Y'all having a fight? Oh, no. We just having a little discussion. We can choose. We can choose to live a godly life. Now, I want us to read one more passage of Scripture, and this may be in your Sunday school lesson in a week or two, from Matthew 24, very last part of Matthew 24. Because this is something Jesus taught, and as a part of what Greg was teaching this morning. Matthew 24, and I'm just going to read it, verse 42, and not really comment on it. 42 and following. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered the house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord made ruler of his household, to give them meat in their season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, to eat and drink with drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in that hour he is not aware of, shall cut him asunder, appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. Therefore shall he be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Waiting for the Lord should be an exciting time. It should be a busy time, sharing our faith. It should be an expectant time. Always looking, always looking. We're in that period now between the ascension and the second coming. Let's do it God's way. Let's do it God's way. May we pray? If you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not ready for that return. Would you today make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, so that when he comes to get you, you're one of the disciples, one of the believers. Each of us need to examine our lives, allow the Holy Spirit to examine us. Are we filled with the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit? Are there things in our lives that need to change? Sin we need to confess? Are we doing our part to share the gospel in whatever role that we have? Holy Spirit, we give you permission to speak to our hearts and draw us to the Lord Jesus. And we thank you for doing it. In Jesus' name.